Welcome to the Brevard Christian Church Podcast. Today, we explore 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 1 through 11, where we see that God is the source of all comfort, and yet for some reason they're still suffering. Maybe God has a better plan that we can only learn on the other side of suffering. Enjoy.
So very encouraging. Every time, I love it when we sing things that are true, but I want to always be mindful of who we're singing to. And a lot of us think, oh, we're singing to God. Yes, we're singing to God, but biblically, did you realize you're not just singing to God? Scripture says, speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. We're also singing to each other. So I love that we, and by the way, when you are singing to God, what would you call that, speaking to God? I call that prayer, isn't it? Right? So I love that we get to join together in prayer, speaking to each other and with gratitude in our hearts to God. Such an encouraging thing to do together. We're going to be in the book of 2 Corinthians. We're kicking off a new book, new series, book of 2 Corinthians. I want to give you a chance to turn there or scroll there if that's what you want to do. And while you're doing that, I want to let you know we had a neat event here yesterday. All day yesterday, our Hope for the Journey conference, where it's a simulcast, so hours and hours of video instruction on trauma-informed parenting, being able to help kids, help parent them, help develop them when they've gone through abuse, neglect, and all sorts of difficult things. We get to show this conference every year. People throughout the county and maybe even beyond the county show up for it, and I just want to thank you guys. This is a little picture of what was this room only hours ago, you know, just yesterday. And food was great. The help was wonderful. Everyone helping watch the kids. And sometimes that's a challenge to watch the many kids that come from these backgrounds. So many of you participated in various ways. And I just want to thank you for that, because it was another success and another exciting thing going forward. And speaking of successes, I have this award right here. And someone made a comment to me today, like, wait a minute, is this like a Dallas Cowboys cheerleader award or something? And I'm like, no, not that. This is from, it's got this long abbreviation, but it stands for Child Abuse Prevention Task Force. They've been around for decades. I don't know if you've heard of them or not, but they're a place that, they're an organization that has been established for a while to help prevent kids from going through abuse and excess trauma, suffering, that sort of a thing. Every year they have an awards banquet where they hand out awards to various agencies, you know, foster care agencies, social worker groups in the system, and so on. But they also give out one for it's called the Faith-Based Award. So this year, Brevard Christian Church, we are recipients of the Faith-Based Award. Wanted you guys to know about that. It was encouraging to me because it was at a Holiday Inn, nice room. The plates were expensive. Somebody else paid for Lacey and I to go. Otherwise, we probably wouldn't have shown up because, you know, it's pricey. But they read off all the things that we've been doing. So it was just encouraging from my perspective because I recognized, you know, different social workers, different people in the system, all were there, the CEO of multiple counties and so on. They were all there, and they read off all the things that we as BCC have been able to do and continue to do with this conference yesterday, with the Amazing Race, helping out throughout the year through Care Portal and meeting various needs. A lot of them you see on Facebook and behind the scene and in our monthly support group. All these things are being noticed, and I'm so, so grateful to be able to have a community impact like that. Hopefully getting people closer to Christ, right? So being able to do that. So that's what this is. I'll leave it up here so you can look at the shininess of it and enjoy that. So, all right, you ready? You ready to get into this? The book of 2 Corinthians. Paul jumps right in, and so that's what I want to do today. Book of 2 Corinthians, first chapter, first verse. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the church of God in Corinth, together with all his holy people throughout Achaia. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, Corinth. Where is Corinth? Corinth is here. Red arrow, right? Southern part of Greece, right in this little strip of land. It made it a really popular trade route. It was a very well-off city, but it was the sin city of its day. If you read the book of 1 Corinthians, you see some of those sins coming into play in the church, right? You see a lot of that. Well, Corinth had a bad reputation, sin city of its day. As a matter of fact, if you were to meet someone that was a real loose person, a real immoral person, an expression they used at that time was, oh, they've been Corinthianized. That's a Corinthianized person, because loose morals, bad person, right? Right? That's the reputation Corinth had. But notice, Paul didn't just write to Corinth. He said, together with all the saints throughout Achaia. Well, Achaia, that's the blue circle. That's this shaded brown area. That's an area well over 1,000 miles, well over 1,000 square miles of territory. It's as though Paul is saying, I don't want it just to get it to a church. I want to blast this out to everyone. Shout this message from the rooftops. Okay, Paul. Okay, what is it we're shouting? Verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. So Paul wants us to know about God's comfort. But right off the bat, there's something that we miss. I think most of us read this wrong. I know I make the mistake. I read it wrong. So let me cycle back for a second. Here's what we need to pay attention to. It says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, Father of compassion and the God of what? Of what? All comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any. And by the way, that's the same Greek word for all. Exact same Greek word. So that we can comfort those in all trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. Isn't that interesting? Isn't it as though God just went all in here? God isn't just the God of comfort. He is the God of all of the comfort. All of it. He is the source of comfort, and He wants to bring that comfort to everyone. How's He going to do that? How's He going to do that? Well, verse 5. For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort. So Paul mentions the trials that he went through along with his partner Silas and Timothy, and the comfort God provided them. And he couples that with the fact that God uses these sorts of trials, these sorts of difficulties, suffering, in order to help others. We're going to talk more about this, but let's get into some of these terms, because I don't want to just read them and not know what we're talking about here. So let's talk about comfort first. What is comfort? The word comfort's actually a Latin term. It comes from the old Latin. Cum means with, forte means strength or power. So the idea of with strength. By the way, I don't know if any of you are piano players or if you read sheet music, you might have seen forte on there, like forte or mezzo forte or different things like that. When you see that, it means play it harder, right? Play it with more power, with more strength there. That's the idea of comfort, to come alongside with strength. The Greek word being used here is the word paraklesis. It's a version of the two-part word again, para and kaleo. Para is where we get our word parallel, you know, the kind of parking that nobody can do. You're supposed to be like right next to, right? Yeah, nobody can do that right, but whatever. You know, parallel, right alongside. And then the second part of the word, you're calling alongside. It's as though this guy's injured, this guy's hurting. Come alongside with some power, with some strength. Let's help. That's what comfort is, to come alongside to help with some strength. Now, what about this word compassion? The Greek word there is the word for mercy, right? So that's literally what we're talking about. But that word is also, the concept of mercy is a very idiomatic concept. It is something that is expressed in numerous ways in the Bible. You could say that someone's heart, you know, your heart went out to them. That would be an expression of mercy. Or you really felt for them. You were stirred. You know, expressions like that. The word compassion itself, that's a Latin term. Again, cum meaning with, and passion. The word passion literally means suffering. Suffering. You've heard of the passion of the Christ, right? That's what they're talking about. They're using the word in the old way. The word means suffering. Now, speaking of suffering, interesting when we look at the Greek word for suffering, right? Because normally that's how you translate it. There's a Greek word, we translate it suffering majority of the time, right? More than a dozen times. I want to say 15, 17 times. But there is a couple of places in the Bible where they translate it differently. And I'm going to read those to you. Romans chapter 7, verse 5 says, "For when we were in the realm of the flesh, the sinful passions," Greek word for suffering, right? Suffering. "Sinful passions aroused by the law were at work in us so that we bore fruit for death." You go to the book of Galatians chapter 5. Galatians 5 verse 24 says, "Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires." Now that word passions, that is the Greek word for suffering. But yet they translate it passions, which kind of gives rise to another discussion, right? That word passion, we don't use that to mean suffering anymore, do we? When we say someone has passion or someone's passionate about something, you don't immediately think suffering, do you? The word used to mean suffering, passion of the Christ. He's tortured, he's killed, he's suffering, right? But the word evolved, it changed over time, and now it means something that you strongly desire, something that you want. The growth of that word throughout the ages, the evolution of that word is actually, there's some wisdom there. To have passion, be passionate about something, the idea is I'm willing to suffer for this. This is so important to me that I am willing to go through some hard times, some difficulty, some suffering just to have what I want because I want it that much. That's the idea of passion. You're willing to suffer for it. Now, there's a big point here, something that really, really matters, okay? It's the same word for suffering that he uses in situations like this. Sin is suffering. Sin causes suffering too. Now, a lot of times the way we define this, right, we would use it as an example. We would say, oh, yeah, if you're involved in sinful stuff, eventually you pay the price for it later. We'll cherry pick a couple of sins. Let's talk about gluttony first. The sin of gluttony. The Bible talks about that. That's excess eating. That is eating more than you should. By the way, American churches don't preach about that sin. We're too scared of it because we're all busy committing it. As a matter of fact, we leave church and we go commit that sin. We've got to stop it. Got to stop it. You're not allowed to eat to excess. That's what the Bible talks about as gluttony. You shouldn't do that, right? It's a sin. So if you keep on doing this sin, we say, well, eventually you're going to get way overweight, you're going to get diabetes, and you might die early, right? You're going to pay for it later. What about the sin of pornography? Another sin the Bible talks about. I mean, Jesus makes it clear, the idea of even lusting in Ephesians, not even a hint of sexual immorality. Greek word porneia, by the way. Not even a hint of porneia is what Scripture says. Interesting, okay? That's a sin. That's a sin. And so oftentimes we think about this and we're like, well, yeah, if you keep on going down that road, your future marriage or your present marriage, if you're already married, eventually when it gets unraveled, it's going to be terrible, and you might separate. There might lead to divorce and all sorts of trouble in the future, right? Right? Because that's what sin does. We've diagrammed it this way, and I've preached it this way too, right? I think of sin as something, well, you're going to enjoy it now. It's going to be fun, but later on, you're going to pay for it. You're going to suffer those consequences. Jesus' way, however, the alternative method, the Christian way, means you got to suffer now. It's got to be hard. It's got to be difficult now, but don't worry. It's worth it. It's worth it. In the end, you know, we get nothing but enjoyment, so it's okay. Go through the suffering now. Well, that's not completely true. This is not completely true. It's a bit of a misnomer. Technically, you know what is true? What technically is true would be this. Sin is something that you enjoy right now, but you also suffer right now. In the end, what are you left with? Nothing but suffering. That's all it's going to take you. That's all it's going to lead to. Jesus' way, yeah. If you want to live a godly life in Christ Jesus, you're going to be persecuted. It's going to be difficult. You will suffer. But Jesus has also provided some comfort, some enjoyment right now. And in the end, you know what's going to happen? You know what this leads to? Nothing but the enjoyment. Nothing but the good stuff. That's where it leads to. This is the accurate version of the situation. Think about this with me. Let's go back to our previous examples here. The guy committing the sin of gluttony, the guy who's actively eating too much. Right now, he is stuffing his face and his body is intaking a bunch of calories that he didn't need to have. It's working overtime, right? Trying to do something with all this excess. He's starting to feel tired. That blood sugar stuff starts to mess with you. You get a little dizzy or whatever. Some people even get nauseous, right? That's what happens when you overeat too much. The problem isn't that he isn't suffering. The problem is he's just so busy stuffing his face, he's distracting himself. He's not thinking about it. I don't want to think about that. I just, food. I don't want to focus on that. If we took that away for a split second, he would realize, man, I am hurting right now. Same thing with the person looking at porn. The person looking at pornography, it's not just some, yeah, there's future damage for sure, but you, they've proven this. You are actively overloading the pleasure centers of your brain right now. You are overstimulating all of that stuff. You're flooding it in a way that it wasn't meant to be. And the effects of that are pretty obvious. There are sexual side effects that are happening right now. Your view of the opposite gender, your views of sexuality are actively being tainted right at this moment. Your present spouse or your future spouse already right now is having a harder time being able to compete with the nonsense that you are flooding your brain with. And the problem is, it's just in front of you. You're looking at it. You're just so distracted by it. You're enamored. But if we took it away just for a second, you would see, I'm suffering right now. This hurts. Sin hurts too. Here's the crazy truth. The crazy truth is this. In life, everybody suffers. Everybody suffers. But for the Christian, there's a way out of it. There's something better at the end of it. But don't believe the lie of the devil that makes you think, oh, if you just cash in, if you just do what you want to do, you'll have fun, you'll pay later, but don't worry, it'll all be fun now. That's not true. And if you were honest with yourself, you would see it. It's a lie. Everybody suffers in this life. It's interesting because I got on a little bit of an audiobook kick again, and so I'm trying to read, I'm trying to study, and things that I don't know much about, I want to know more about. So I read Economics for Dummies a few weeks ago. Economics for Dummies. Did you know socialism doesn't work? Yeah, cool fact. Communism, socialism just doesn't work. But besides that, a lot of interesting things you can learn from this book, and most of it I'm sure I didn't understand. But this book referenced something, and it was just good to hear from a secular source. They said something that I know is true, and you know it's true. I think everyone in this room knows it's true, but we live as though it's not. Constantly we catch ourselves living as though it's not. He talked about the studies that study the effects of more money and more happiness. Right? The effects of, all right, if the person gets more money, they'll be a little bit happier, right? What's the correlation between money and happiness? And study after study after study shows there's none. The more money people have, they don't get happier. There seems to be no correlation between having more money and having more happiness. Time and time again, the studies all bear it out. And yet for some reason in our minds, we just want to say, yeah, but I'm the exception, right? If I just had how much money? One more dollar. That's it. That's all I need. If I just had a little bit more, I would take care of X, Y, Z. Yet the studies don't bear that out. What does that mean? What does that mean on a practical level? That means you could have all the money in the world, and you know what? Still going to suffer. You're still going to go through pain. Even if we gave you everything in life, everyone suffers. But it doesn't stop there. Let's keep reading. Verse 8. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about the troubles we experienced in the province of Asia. By the way, that's Asia Minor. That's not the big continent Asia. That's a smaller section closer to where they are, okay? The province of Asia, we were under great pressure far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt we had received the sentence of death, but this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, he will deliver us again. On him we have set our hope, that he will continue to deliver us as you help us by your prayers. Then many will give thanks on our behalf for the gracious favor granted us in answer to the prayers of many. Suffering is universal. And Paul makes it clear here, it's not something we're meant to hide. It's not something we're meant to mask or pretend like it doesn't happen and look good in front of other people. No, no, no. Something is not, it's not something we hide as Christians. We don't victimize ourselves. We don't get entitled because we recognize that pain is a necessary part of the human existence. And suffering is the very tool God uses for greatness in our lives. It's the very one He uses. When we suffer, we get closer to Jesus. We grow personally. We bond with other people. And we are equipped, we are enabled to help others in hard times. The fact of the matter is we actually need suffering. We don't want God to take it away, because if God took it away, we couldn't grow anymore. Without suffering, by the way, think about this. Without suffering, there would be no such thing as comfort. The very concept of comfort would be gone if suffering were not a thing. We couldn't get closer to Jesus. We couldn't help others. There wouldn't really be this thing called comfort. If you follow this logically, if you allow your brain to go there and think this through logically, you know where this leads? If you were to have life without any form of suffering, if you were to just remove it all from the equation, logically, that life becomes pointless. Ultimately, life without it is meaningless. But Seth, it hurts. It still hurts. I don't want to go through it. This is a 9mm bullet. If you get shot with one of these, it's going to hurt. There will be suffering involved, right? Now, I know next to nothing about these things, but according to the internet, a 9mm bullet, when fired, will travel 1 to 3 miles distance, according to what I read on the internet. However, that same bullet, if it was shot into water, will travel only about 3 feet. But if you were to come up with a mixture of something like Jell-O, it's even less. The right kind of gelatin. By the way, do not test this out. Do not, okay? Can't prove any of this. Don't try it. But why is this? Why do they use a gelatin substance? What's up with that? Why is something so powerful, something that goes so far, when you get to water, you get to something thicker than water, it barely does anything. Why is that? Can we say even resistance? Even load distribution? Would that be a good way to put it? Would that be accurate, maybe? All right, I'm going to go out on a limb here. Just going to go out on a limb, and I'm going to guess that most of you sleep on a mattress. Am I close? You sleep on a mattress. I hope last night wasn't a bad night for you and you got kicked off that mattress and you're on a couch or something. I'm sorry if that's your trauma today, okay? But I'm hoping that most of us get to enjoy the mattress. Have you considered maybe a concrete slab instead? Because if you were to get a concrete slab, you can go to Home Depot, make your bed to your exact dimensions, and it'll last so much longer. You could just sleep on the concrete slab. Cheaper, bigger, lasts longer. So why don't we use that? Well, you know why. It hurts, doesn't it? It hurts. I don't want to lay on that thing. All the pressure and various parts of your body, right? It doesn't evenly distribute the load, so it all hurts. You're absorbing impact way too much in the wrong focused places. Christian, you're not alone. You're not in this faith by yourself. When you were baptized into Christ, forgiveness of sins, gift of the Holy Spirit, what happened? God brought you into His church. You're in a family. And guess what we as Christians do together? We comfort. We mutually bear the load. Right? That's what we do. Don't Don't isolate yourself. I mean, you can do that. You can isolate yourself. You can keep yourself away and then suffer the pain if you want. But don't stand in front of the bullet. Let God's people help. Are you being a part of the help with God's people, right? We Christians together, can I say it this way? We together are like Jell-O. We really are. We're like Jell-O to the world's bullets. We help mutually bear and distribute the suffering that everyone will, you will go through. So here's where I want to end today. I want to end with a question. Are you a block of wood or an acorn? That's it. Are you a block of wood or an acorn? Let's suppose I found a big, open, secluded area outside, and I took a chunk of wood, and I threw it down in a patch of dirt, and we observed. What are we going to observe? Nothing. It's a block of wood, and I threw it down on the ground. If you were to time-lapse a video of it, what are you going to see? The wood would slowly rot and decay, and the elements and stuff. As long as a little kid doesn't come with a hammer or a saw or something, right, and then wreck that piece of wood, it'll live a relatively untouched existence, but it will kind of suffer. It'll be beat down by the elements until it rots in the ground, and that's the end of it. But what if instead we found an acorn and we threw that on the ground? Now, the acorn's a bit smaller, right? It looks similar to a piece of wood, but it's smaller. And if you were to throw that on the ground, yeah, for a while, it would just sit there too, buried a little bit, the elements and all that. But there's a key difference, isn't there? The acorn, after a while, the skin starts to stretch and tear. And then the shell starts to break apart. Break. That can't be good. That's got to hurt. And then something like a tumorous growth from the inside starts to burst out. That sounds like about the most amount of suffering I can imagine for an individual, right? For a thing, like to have a growth from within bursting like that. That sounds very painful, doesn't it? But what happens? What's the end result? Well, the end result is that acorn is obliterated. You wouldn't think there's any part of it left, but obliterated is not the right word. I would use the word transformed. Right? You throw a block of wood down, you watch it for long enough, it'll slowly rot, it'll decay, and that's the end of it. It is a pointless, meaningless existence. But you throw an acorn down long enough, let the elements do their thing, and nobody else touches it, it will break apart, it will suffer, it will go through a transformation, and then it will grow and grow and grow. If you leave the acorn long enough, by itself, it can populate an entire continent with trees. Right? Block of wood does nothing, just sits there, goes through it. Acorn, yeah, a bit more suffering, transformation, pain, and an entire continent worth of wood eventually comes from it. Which one are you? Jesus died to bring us into relationship with the God of all comfort. So as we remember the sacrifice of Jesus, we take these packets. On one side, it's got bread, reminds us the body of Christ broken on that cross. Then we peel off the other side and we drink the cup of juice, which reminds us of the blood Jesus poured out for the forgiveness of our sins, right? His sacrifice in place of us. Why did he do that? Well, among other things, taking care of our sin problem, bringing us in relationship with the God of all comfort. So that you and I can be transformed. Are you letting God's people in? Are you helping to bear the load for everyone around you? And are you letting the suffering that you will go through, that we all will go through, are you letting it be used by God to transform you? Which one are you?
Thanks again for listening to the Brevard Christian Church podcast. We pray you were encouraged and blessed. Want to connect with us? Go to brevardchristian.com and hit the contact us page. We'd love to follow up with you and help you take your next step as we get closer to Him. And until next time, grace and peace to you.